one of the realities of this world is that regardless of their origins or lifestyles, a central feature of life for the vast majority of people is their search for God. Sometimes we earnestly look for Him, seeking to create space in our lives to know Him. Sometimes we just know that something is missing, regardless of family, friends, jobs, and material stuff crowding us. Today's reading, Paul finds this to be the case with the citizens of Athens. They know that their pantheons of gods is missing something, and they have left a place for the God they missed. In their hearts, they know that this is God, because just leaving the space open reveals how lacking their gods are. Paul speaks passionately here and elsewhere in his travels and letters because he knows who God is. He knows the truth of Christ and what it means to have the Messiah in your life. Or not, since Paul had both experiences. Just imagine yourself in his position in front of the people of Athens, trying to convey to them what they're missing. Peter's letter today is of the same tone. The real crux of his text is the advice to be able to speak to who God is and what he has done. So Peter has written, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Peter follows with the injunction to do so with gentleness, compassion. His point is not to get into an argument or debate, but simply to testify to God in your life. John's gospel today is about the coming of the Spirit. Jesus tells the disciples that they know the Spirit because the Spirit is with them. Just as importantly, Jesus tells them that because he lives, so do they. Life is not independent of God. It is only in him, and when we think otherwise, we are deluding ourselves, thinking that the material stuff, or even jobs, or even family, is what life is about. None of that is. It's about God with us. What he has done and does with us. His presence in us blesses us with what we find pleasure in. Family, job, and sometimes some material thing. But only in the context of whatever it is as a blessing from him. For example, if we look at family as a blessing from God to us, then that deepens its importance and meaning. Just consider your daily life if you regularly embrace that your spouse, children, parents, or friends are there as gifts from God. They are indeed treasures to begin with, but coming from God, those gifts become sacred, and we should treat them accordingly. So how do we live this in our own lives? First, remember the people of Athens and Paul. The Athenians came to the meeting place to discuss who the gods were. They were seeking truth in their lives and, being good Greeks, went about it with their intellect. We, as our Western cultural successors, tend to do the same. Paul, in a letter to the Corinthians, explains, "Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom." Paul knew the fallacy of all this. The life of Jesus abounded with signs that the Judeans ignored, and the Greeks kept looking for it in their own intellects. We experience God. We experience him in our lives and in us, in the world around us. And so we know him because of this, not because we have reasoned our way through some mathematical style of proof. Second, we must have our eyes open, heads up and hearts open to experience and see God. If we surround ourselves with what the world offers, even the good stuff that could be our calling, it soon preoccupies us and we cease seeing God in it. For example, we're now caught up in trying to maintain the food bank for the community. We have perceived a growing need and seek to meet it. But we have to keep ourselves in check and not carried away with the action in our role, but in the presence of God. We do things not because they are good to do, but because we seek to witness to what God is doing. So when we're able to provide food, we do so because God has richly blessed us as a church and community. He has blessed us with the provision of resources that we did not have before COVID. He has blessed us with volunteers. He has blessed us with partnerships that facilitate the provision of food, even when the expected systems fail. This is not our doing. It is all his, and we have to remember that. Finally, we must be able to and willing to testify of him. We must set ourselves aside and focus on him. That does not mean we go off alone and meditate by ourselves, though that can be a soul cleansing exercise, but does mean that as we go through our daily life, we remember the author of it. The world does not much care about our personal opinions, but the world is seeking meaning, which means it is seeking the truth of life, which means it is seeking God. And we know that in seeking God, we find him through Jesus the Messiah. It is not about the conventional American Protestant notion of being saved for the hereafter. It is about the reality of being with God now and forever. Remember what the Westminster Catechism tells us. The chief end of mankind is to glorify God and enjoy his presence forever. Forever began yesterday, doesn't begin tomorrow. Sit down today and ask yourself the question, what has God done in my life and where do I find him? So we live in the blessings and power of God by his grace alone. Through the faith alone he gives us, by the atoning work of Christ alone, and through the knowledge that Scripture alone gives us. All this so that we may live to give glory to God alone. Amen.